never thought we'd be having a show where about 80% of the incoming email had the words barking and squirrel in the subject line, but joke line over. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. You can also email me if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. What?
If you would have just believed me, then we wouldn't have to do this.
Must believe me, Sheriff. Rick, says this email, about oncoming drivers jerking into your lane and killing you. I think about that, too. I'm glad to know I'm not alone in thinking about an oncoming driver taking me out because they had a bad day. I also wonder if the big one will hit every time I cross a long, long bridge in slow, slow traffic. I think about that constantly.
Yep, me too, whenever I go over the Tacoma Narrows.
Oh, man, the Tacoma Narrows is the worst.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. And even just like the Ross Island Bridge. Like, I'll sit on the... Sometimes in the morning, like, if I'm not bicycling, like, if I, like, take the car or whatever, and it's always... I'll take the car, and that's always the day there's an accident. And so you're sitting there... And as much as you know intellectually that engineers went to school and college and they have schematics and blueprints and protractors and levels and whatever else they have, and they do computer simulations or whatever, you never really wonder if you're never sure that they've anticipated the weight of not a bunch of moving cars, but a bunch of cars just sitting there, sitting still, not moving.
No, and the Ross Island Bridge isn't that scary.
Ross Island Bridge
is... Tacoma Narrows, you're up there above water with the biggest squid underneath it in the entire world.
See, so it's not really the fall to you, it's the squid?
Well, it's the fall and the fact that they're like jagged rocks and you're just so high up.
Oh, I've been thinking about that.
And when you're stuck behind
out.
Like four semis in a row, like in the middle of the bridge.
It's always... Oh, especially like on the Selwood Bridge. Remember a while back they closed the Selwood Bridge to trucks?
Cracking?
Totally. And they're like, well, you can still drive on it, sort of. It don't bring anything too heavy. And like, why? Well, because it's cracking underneath, which is just... Lara grew up in Florida, and there was actually... And I'm unclear about to what extent this happened and to what extent she's embellishing it in her memory because she was very young. But there was... And her mom confirms that the incident happened. I just don't know exactly how much, again, she's sort of retrofitting it in her head. But she was like 8, 9 years old right before she moved to Utah. And in Florida, it's like in Southern California, there's those bridges that are like really high up. I mean, they just seem to be like a million miles in the sky, like the Coronado Bridge in Southern California is the same way. And it's the old thing where like part of the bridge just collapses and falls away. And they're, I swear to God, literally, and her mom confirms that this part happened. Literally, and it took forever. It took like 40 minutes, and so there was cameras everywhere, helicopters coming in, school bus on the edge of the bridge doing the whole... And just a bus hanging over the edge of the bridge. And she said that she watched that when she was a kid on the news of this school bus dangling over the... Which eventually fell. Killing all aboard. I don't think so. I think they managed to get out of the bus, but then the bus just plunged into the whatever, and she said she's just traumatized going over a bridge because of that. It's like when you're in a stadium. Have you ever been like at a football game or a concert or something? Like at the Kingdome, it was this way. It was like 80,000 people. And all 80,000 people like stamping their feet as hard as they can, and you swear to God you can feel the rivets just coming out of it. And you're not really sure.
Are you trying to ruin every experience that anyone ever wants to have?
Yes. Yes, I am.
You are the most paranoid person I've ever met.
I'm not paranoid.
Yes, you are. Now I'm nervous about driving, I'm nervous about being on bridges, and also about being in stadiums.
Well done, Rick. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Thank you.
Yes, welcome.
So much.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Our good friend Peter Carlin, how are you, sir?
Well, I was better till then.
Yes, well, I don't have the I Love Lucy. We've never bought... Wait, hold on. Let me, how about the...
Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.
There we go.
How did you find that again?
Ah, Rick Emerson finds all.
Wow.
Nothing.
Any sort of copyright problem since that was on the other station?
No. I don't think the other station cares about anything we do.
No.
I don't think the other station... We're dead to them.
You could touch it.
There you go. I'm just going to create a whole... You know what it is? I'll give these all to Scotty.
I don't even know what that last one...
We have so many sound bites and things on this station that we have now completely... We're so far removed from the point of origination that we cannot remember where they came from. What, like, what were you...
You could touch it.
Like, what were you...
I don't even think that's me.
It is you. Because here's how I know. It's labeled, Peter Carlin says, you can touch it.
You could touch it.
I don't even know. And it's like, this one is even...
Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.
Like,
I love the fidelity on that one. I would say that again, just to get that into better high five.
It's like, well, you know what it is? Because we, and I had mentioned this, that we had lost... that originally, because we had it at Intercom, and then when we were given the bum's rush, as they say, I did not have time to, I was just sort of hurriedly loading things into a box, and I did not get a chance to rescue that one.
Uh-huh.
I had a listener find it on, like, a cassette tape in his basement of an old show we had done.
That's weird. Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.
My question is, why were you saying that day? Or ever?
I can't remember. We were having some lively conversation.
About
bitches?
And
then that was just like the most... I think it was probably playing off of some sort of women's rights issue or something to do with like some heinous thing that had happened on TV. And I think just as in attempts to come up with a...
And you were letting them know the Peter Carlin stance on those things?
Well, I think I had mostly been giving my usual sort of super sensitive guy rap, you know, which is total nonsense.
You wanted to balance
that. In order to not to come off like a regular guy at the end, I said that.
Were you trying to? Was that your attempt to be like part of the Max 910?
Yeah.
Imaging.
I want to get a gig with Maxim magazine. Yeah, it was. Must have been the Maxim 910 thing with that sweaty crank addict they had on that.
Totally. Like, girls are smelly.
Yeah.
I have many sores. It was just like that's totally what it was. It was just like a lot of bad dumb guy posturing.
Yeah.
I sweat profusely from many awkward parts of my body. Please bring me a hungry man dinner.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Anyway,
exactly.
How's life in Peter Carlin's world?
Well, I'll tell you what, though, it was great until I was rousted out of bed at 5:55 this morning by one of your competitors, who was on the phone looking for Mrs. Carlin because she happens to work with the Portland Public Schools.
I have no competitors.
Yeah, yeah, seriously, you really don't.
Who was it?
That would be Mrs. Rebecca Webb from Kink Radio. And she called and she was terribly blue.
Who?
Yeah.
No, seriously, who?
Rebecca Webb.
Oh, okay.
Kink FM.
Oh, I know Kink.
We're on the other side of the dial.
No. I should say that we know Kink, and here's Kink is a great station, and Kink is known to us as the station that can do anything they want. They sort of are on their own planet, so they're sort of a...
So we're just kind of jealous.
We all love Kink, but there is a lot of jealousy about Kink because, again, and I don't say this, I just say this with envy more than anything else, they are just really allowed to do anything they want. None of the rules of CBS Radio apply to them. They really, just like the hard-drinking Charlie Sheen-type cop in a film, they make their own law. So.
Yeah, I know. They're a good cop, but they need to learn to go by the book.
No. Rebecca Webb is great. Was she the one who was talking about the kids keeping it trill, do you suppose, Sarah? I wonder if that was her.
I thought it was a guy that said that.
No, it was a woman. There's this great moment on Kink, and I would give anything to have it on tape. I would give anything to have this on tape, if anybody can find this for me. Because apparently some of these southern rappers, the kids from the Dirty South, and apparently there is this phrase in the southern rap lexicon, which I do not pretend to be really fluent in, where they are, quote, keeping it trill. And that is a combination of keeping it true, you know, being true, and keeping it real. So it's not just true, it's not just real, it's trill. And so I have this on good authority. One of the engineers, like, came running in here. Did you hear Kink this morning? And I said, no, I didn't. I was listening to something else. Why? Apparently on Kink, one of the female anchors, somebody, whoever it was, somebody, a woman on Kink in the morning, was talking about the southern rap, and she was describing the word trill.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, and, you know, keeping it trill is something we should all try to do in our everyday lives. Which is great. Which is so great.
That's just cringe-inducing.
I love Kink, but as he pointed out, they're not just white, they're boomer white, which is the whitest white that there is.
Yeah. And also, but see, here's the deal. Here's the story. So, you know, Mrs. Carlin works for the Portland Public Schools and does communication stuff. And so when really bad things happen or really interesting things happen, they call her, which is generally fine.
Is that her slogan? When things happen?
Yeah, basically. But anyway, so they call us at 5:50 in the morning because they're terribly confused because they've come under the impression that school in Portland begins today. And they learned this by looking at the Portland Public Schools website, and now they're very angry because somehow this has all been miscommunicated to them, and it's terribly unfair, and it's not good for anybody, and what's the matter with these people, and why can't they get their act together, and et cetera, and all this is happening very early in the morning. And so Sarah, like, tells them that this is ridiculous, and then they ought to read the website, and she hangs up the phone, and Rebecca calls back herself moments later, and apparently in tones of of exasperated sarcasm explains to Sarah that she's doing a terrible job and that this
Jesus.
Is part of her job, being roused at 5:55, and if they can't communicate their message effectively, then that's their problem and not Kink's, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So then
she sends Sarah the link to this website, and to, so Sarah can go and examine the errors of her ways and of the Portland Public Schools ways, which she does subsequently, and realizes that actually it's a very accurate release by the press office of the Portland Public Schools in Portland, Maine.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
That's
awesome. In
fact,
I went to look at it myself, and it has a very jaunty lawn drawing of a whaling ship in the left-hand corner.
That seems like Portland to me. That seems, nothing says Oregon like a whaling ship.
Yeah, I know. Jeez. We're very old-timey and down east around
God
here.
God damn. Well, all right then. Well,
well, I know. And then she's, anyways, and then subsequently, because she felt terribly apologetic, Rebecca sent an email explaining that she'd kind of done us a favor by giving us a very funny story to tell, which I'm doing now. And also, but this also reveals that that there obviously are communication problems at Portland Public Schools, and therefore she should really sit down with Sarah to talk about them.
Yeah. I'm looking at Rebecca Webb's picture right here.
Does she look apologetic?
No, not at all. I'm looking at Kink FM's Kink.fm right here.
Yeah.
And Rebecca Webb, who I'm reading here, has been on radio.
She was on K2 TV, co-host of AM Northwest.
Well, Fisher only hires the best. Has been a radio and TV news reporter and anchor in the Northwest for 20 years. I'm sure that she's much loved. I'm sure she does a competent and professional job. The expression, and this is, I'm simply talking about the
she
expression
on
her face.
She was on Knots Landing.
Really?
Yeah. She was in The Last Innocent Man with Ed Harris.
That's the mark of integrity right there, is Knots Landing with William Devane. I'm just looking at her expression. The expression on Rebecca Webb's face here at kink.fm, if I was to capture this expression, it would be a whole lot of...
confusion.
Not confusion so much as... sort of like as though she was in a 50s sitcom, and the expression on her face might be best summed up by the phrase, I didn't know we had people like you in this neighborhood. Maybe that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or, are you a new member of the club?
Me?
That's something like that.
Yeah, you must be a legacy.
Exactly. But, you know.
So anyway.
All right. Well, what can you do?
That's where I am. A little shaked up.
A little
sleepy.
That's okay. You're keeping it together, brother. You sound flawless as always.
Well, what I'm trying to keep it is Trill.
Peter, in our... Okay, Scotty, we please
yeah,
to be
right, capture that.
Please to be excerpting out, Peter. What I'm trying to be is Trill, and so of course. But see, the thing is now, every time I listen to Kink, which is pretty frequently, it's a great station. Their Carlin annoying tendencies notwithstanding, but every time I hear them, you know, like, Kink, true to the music. In my head, I just hear like a Trill to the music. It's totally. I offered one of the engineers $100 in cash if he would get on there and deface their website and change it to say Trill to the music. Like done in like tagging, you know, like a spray painted kind of a thing.
Yo, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's a bad
guy, Jay.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, I forgot the hell we were going to talk about, but is that standoff show, that Ron Livingston show, is that tonight?
Yep.
Either
tonight or tomorrow, but I think it might be tonight.
I think it's tonight.
You ran today.
And it's like, because I read your piece about it, which I think was yesterday.
Now it's today.
Is it a terrible program?
It's not terrible.
It seems very, everybody's trying to create two things right now, the new Lost and the new 24.
Right.
And this falls into the latter category, right?
It's sort of a 24/Grey's Anatomy/... I don't know, you know, the Mod Squad. Right. I don't know.
Because that's what everybody's clamoring for, is a combination of all those things.
And the Mod Squad,
yeah.
Clearly.
Yes.
Because you need... Yeah, I know. It's not bad. It's not horrible. Let's put it that way.
Here's the thing about Ron Livingston is that's a guy who I so badly want him to be successful, and not just to be successful, but to be successful in quality work.
What did he used to be in?
He's best known for being in Office Space.
Oh, yeah, right.
He plays Peter Gibbons in Office Space. He was also in Swingers with Jon Favreau and Vince Vaughn and those guys. And he just seems large. And he was in Adaptation, the Nicolas Cage film.
Who did he play in Adaptation?
He played Nicolas Cage's agent. Charlie Kaufman's agent.
Oh.
And his,
He's kind of cool. He has a really sort of neat.
And he just seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's wrong. And he just filmed, Sarah, you were an extra in a Ron Livingston film just recently.
I was.
Music of the Heart.
Mm-hmm.
Which you know is going to be doggerel just by the title.
And I know I'll probably be cut out of it.
Totally.
But it's okay.
So Sarah and Tim both. But the standoff is, it's what? It's a team of wacky and diverse hostage negotiators or something?
Well, they're hostage negotiators. The one thing that every show has in common this fall, and I guess most every season, is that the characters, they're not just like hostage negotiators. They're like the nation's most brilliant hostage negotiators.
They're the best.
You know, it's like, or like Shark, the lawyer show, or the other lawyer show, the defense one. They're always like the nation's most brilliant and, yeah, you know, and successful.
Uh-huh.
Like, come on. Let's make a show about incompetent plumbers. I'd watch that.
Totally. Again, there's like the one, we can stock all of this in our heads. There's the one guy who plays by the book, and then there's the obligatory member of the team with whom he used to have a romantic entanglement?
Well, the woman who is their new boss used to be his partner.
Ah.
So there's a little...
They have history.
They have history.
Yeah. All right.
So maybe he has a habit. Maybe that's what's going to come out in sweeps.
It seems fantastic. You know, here's the thing is, I'm trying to feign all this interest in it because Ron Livingston is it, but I just really don't care. I'm not going to watch it.
Well.
I'm not going to watch it. It'll probably be gone by this time next year.
Maybe it'll go quickly and painlessly, and then he'll be in another better show.
I know. And then, well, because YouTube is where all that stuff is showing up now because there's this sort of, I don't know, this rise of the audience thing where they're taking a lot of these programs that get canceled really quickly, and they're all, you know, and especially because there's such a long period of time before someone come out on DVD,
mm-hmm,
they just get posted online. Because I was mentioning this the other day. I went on eBay, and I'm proud of this, and I will say this from the hilltops without fear of reprisal, that I bought on eBay because it is not out on DVD. I bought the entire 90-episode run of WKRP in Cincinnati from some guy.
Proud of that?
I am. For what it was, that was a fine sitcom. Really, pound for pound, that was an LOL sitcom. I laughed out loud, and I am laughing out loud again as I watched that series.
So we can imagine a young Rick Emerson sitting there having these kind of primal moments and realizing what he wants to do with the rest of his life.
I have to tell you, man,
but you always just wanted to be Dr. Johnny Fever.
I will tell. Listen to the disdain, the open scorn with which you say that. Look, we didn't all have, Mary Tyler Moore or whatever as a, wasn't that in a newsroom? didn't Mary Tyler Moore take place at a newspaper, or is that Lou Grant?
Well, yes and yes, but, I mean, no, Mary Tyler Moore was in a TV news station.
Did a young Peter Carlin look at Mary Tyler Moore and decide,
yes,
that's what I want to wear fashionable beige clothing in my life.
Seriously, I love those hemlines.
Yeah, right.
There you go. That one's going on to the...
Yes. See, it's good that you can anticipate these things now.
Right.
What else? And then the crocodile guy is dead. And so, really, here's an idea for an article you ought to be writing about. Here's what you ought to be writing about, Peter Crone. because clearly you need our input. What you ought to be writing about is the idea of pre-created obituaries and pre-created memorial DVD packages. Because, you know, that obituary aired like 4 seconds after he was dead.
Yeah, but you know what? Guess what? If you're famous enough, People Magazine will have an entire special issue memorial sitting around waiting for you to croak.
Is that true?
I kid you not.
Who?
You know who's on that list?
Same thing I was just going to ask. Any old favorites like that are probably still... Let me ask you this.
People who are, like, on the verge, who you know are, like...
Andy Dick.
Ticket sooner. Yeah, Andy Dick. No, I don't think he's going to qualify.
He wouldn't.
Is it usually by age, or is it by lifestyle?
A little of both. I bet, like, the Pope, for instance, had one, like, waiting around for 10 years or so.
Now, did you contribute anything?
Yeah, I contributed to the Sinatra one.
Really? How long before he died?
Actually, I was, like, I wrote the last... piece. They held open 2 pages for the very end. It wasn't just the look back. This was the actual. He just croaked. And here's what happened.
Really?
Story.
Did you ever? And I guess you guys, because it's print, of course, you can never have that embarrassing where they put the Chiron up on CNN and, you know, and they're saying that they're saying that Sharon Stone is, you know, whatever. Because the thing about where it was like the second day we were back on the air here, and there was the story that Will Ferrell had been killed by paragliding into a power line. Did you hear that?
No.
And it was on MSNBC.
Really?
It was the website, not the TV, not the channel. It was on MSNBC.com. And when you think about it, It was so just patently absurd on the face of it that we should have known it was crap. I mean, because paragliding into a power line is fantastic.
Did they come up with a, like a really witty type of headline to put, you know, how like, they have like...
hang gliding into history.
Sizzle, you know, colon.
His career went sizzle. His career has fizzled out.
Yeah, sizzle to fizzle.
Or like a paraglide, paradied, something like that. No, and so we, and of course we were so excited, literally like running down the hall into the studio, because everybody of course is waiting to, you know, to get the news from us, obviously. And we were so excited in a sick way that Will Ferrell, we thought, had died. And then of course, when it comes down like half an hour later, that of course that wasn't the case at all, and it was just like some idiot that emailed it to MSNBC.com.
And I wasn't excited, that was pretty depressing.
And then Tim and I were then both happy he was alive, but then kind of bummed out that we didn't get the... that we didn't get the scoop the way we thought they had, so...
Really? Were you working on your sad voice?
I really was. I was working on my my sort of where I kind of tilt my head and I say something like, you know, and then you always wrap it up with the same thing. Will Ferrell, dead at 38, he will be missed. And then there's like the half second, and then they roll they play the B roll, and it's a lot of... when we return, another day of strife in the Middle East. I mean, it really does amaze me how easily I'm able to do all of those inflections that indicate that I care about something that I could not possibly care less about.
Yeah.
You know? It's like that one inflection that Stephen Colbert has really raised to an art form, which is when he throws it back, he tosses it back to Jon Stewart,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, our Stephen Colbert is on the scene outside of Buckingham Palace, and then there's the pause, and they go to Colbert, and he just goes, Jon... and that's it. And that tone sets the whole thing right off.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, is anything good coming up? I mean, the answer's probably no.
Well, you know that Katie Couric has got her first show on.
Oh, you know, I can't believe we forgot to talk about that. Yeah. We were talking to our man at CNN about that earlier. He was canvassing New Yorkers what they thought about that. And here's how sad it is. We couldn't... We knew Katie Couric because they're advertising her like every 30 seconds on this station. And then... Brian Williams, we could not for the life of us remember who was doing ABC News. I've forgotten again. He told me this morning, and I now forgot.
Oh, that would be old...
the guy. What's his name?
Yeah.
Old Reliable.
Well, now that you've jinxed me.
I
knew it like 5 seconds ago.
The guy who... You're the TV critic.
He was the host of Good Morning America for a million years. God, should hang up now.
Listen to our shame becoming public. Well, whatever. But see, that right there, that is a microcosm of the whole thing. That is your prima facie evidence for how little any of us really care about the evening news. So, I will tell you this, though, that the advertising has worked. I will watch it tonight. And I will also watch a couple of, because I guess she's recruited people to come on, Katie Couric, to come on to these, what are these sort of like editorial reply things.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Limbaugh's going to do one, and I'll watch that. But so I'll give it, you know.
Wait, who's going to do one?
Rush. Rush is going to do one.
Got to watch him.
I will. I will watch him because I'm a fan. I'm a Rush.
That would be Charles Gibson.
Charles Gibson. There you go. Did you
Charlie, to his friends.
Did you Google that?
Yes.
Fantastic. All right. So I'll give her like 3 days to hold my attention. Only because she's got to succeed, or it's like you're going to be talking to like an automated machine playing Spanish oldies. You know, by this time in 6 months, you know what I mean?
Got
it. There's just like $18 billion riding on that. So I think
everybody will move up one.
I think. Yeah, that's usually how it works.
Yeah.
I think Les Moonves has got he's got his hand over the kill button for all of us here. So let's all wish her Godspeed.
Okay.
All right, my friend, Peter Carlin, do you have other words of wisdom to share with us before we draw a curtain down on this?
Crickets. No, sir.
You have nothing.
I got nothing. I'm done.
Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.
There you go.
Keeping it trill, sir. All right. You can see Peter Carlin keeping it trill in print in the Oregonian or online at OregonLive.com. We will speak to you on the Monday, my friend.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you. There you go. Peter Carlin, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. All right. Fantastic. I was going to make another trill joke, but you know I'm just going to let it sit there.
Yeah, you've reached your limit.
I've taken it as far as I can. I'm all trilled out. It's 503-733. Whatever the... 970. You can also email me like... I think we're all just getting stupider. Is it... have we fallen into that Idiotocracy movie where our brains are just flaking away? You come back, we got people talking about Tacoma Narrows. We got Jim Roop coming up, Storm, Dennis Pitchenbarger, and more from the Ministry of Truth. You don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. The Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. In just a moment, the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley. Later on, Dennis Pitzenbauer for the Portland Tribune. We'll talk about Storm and Rockstar Supernova tonight. So, yeah, tonight, Toby will not be making any mention of Steve Irwin because that was taped on Sunday, obviously.
Which I hope doesn't hurt him. I mean, you know it will because a lot of...
Why isn't he mentioning the croc guy?
Exactly.
Maybe they'll throw up a slide at the end and say, this show in loving memory of Steve Irwin.
Oh, yeah. They don't. Uh-huh. But I'm telling you, here's the thing. I'm making this prediction. That if Toby ends up in the bottom three, which I believe he will. Now, keep in mind, I don't know anything about tonight's show. We'll talk about that in the next hour. We'll reveal spoilers. I'm saying just based on who the other competitors are, I believe he'll end up in the bottom three. Just because I think he's not all that interesting. But I will guarantee you this. If Toby performs in the bottom in the elimination show tomorrow, I guarantee you he will either do the black armband, he will have like four Steve written on his washboard like stomach, or he will do a moment of silence for my fallen countrymen. I'm telling you right now, man, and everybody, a nation will weep, a nation will mourn with him. Okay. No, I guess I'll get to the Delana entries, Scotty. I'll get to it. We got an hour and 15 minutes here, and then we'll get these calls as well. Somebody wants to scare us about the Tacoma Narrows. Somebody wants to talk about pot. And,
Did we lose all the barking squirrel calls?
Yeah, but we can get them back.
Well, apparently these barking squirrels are actually prairie dogs.
See, but that means they're not squirrels.
They fascinated Lewis and Clark. Everything out here has a Lewis and Clark connection. Lewis and Clark loved these things. They whistled in the bush. So they're not actually...
I don't understand what we're talking about.
I think a barking squirrel just hung up.
All right. But... What? So Sarah says that she goes to the park and squirrels bark at her.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about Lewis and Clark whistling at prairie dogs.
Which they say were barking squirrels. Now, these things
Lewis
do look
and Clark
like squirrels.
Never said any such thing.
Lewis and Clark said all kinds of things out here.
Where are we? Are you friendly?
That does not look like a squirrel to you.
Would you like to have smallpox? Okay, but... Okay, it sort of looks... Okay, is this what you saw?
Did they climb around in trees? Because these are always in the trees with big poofy tails. They look like squirrels to me.
I don't believe this is a squirrel.
No, it doesn't.
This has no tail. This is a prairie dog.
It has smaller feet.
And isn't sending you secret messages. The explorers first made the scientific observations of prairie dogs, which they called barking squirrels. Okay, but that's okay. But when you call it, when Lewis and Clark, I can't believe we're spending time on this. This is the educational portion of the program. Well,
if Lewis and Clark say something, it's gospel.
But see, when Lewis and Clark called a prairie dog a barking squirrel, that's like when I call passenger 57 Die Hard on a plane. Mm-hmm. It's not really Die Hard on a plane, but you're just by way of comparison. Sarah is talking, I believe, about actual barking squirrels.
In most of the parks in Portland, if you have a dog. Chances are there'll be a squirrel in a tree that's kind of clinging onto the tree and barking back at the dog.
Like, woof, woof, woof.
That makes this weird bark. Kind of rodent bark thing.
Scotty's noting that it's a mating call to you.
Thank you, Scott.
All right.
Or to Muppet.
Can you now simulate for us what the barking squirrel sounds like?
Do you think I would do that?
Look, in the name of scientific exploration.
I don't think I can quite nail it. If we have a listener that could do it.
No, I'll see how you just pawn it off on the people. If someone, please now to
that
call.
That noise that you were making at the break sounded exactly like it.
You mean like a... that?
No.
Oh. If someone, please now to call and simulate a barking squirrel. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk. With the Ministry of thing.
And now,
there you go.
From the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
From Connecticut comes word, activists for the disabled are divided over a proposal to remove the word retarded from the name of the State Department of Mental Retardation. The summit's
but
a welcome sign of
progress.
It's
just
going to
be the State Department of nothing.
I know, that's the problem.
There'll be all this space up on the sign.
Others worry that using a variant of the word
Department
might confuse lawmakers.
Well, what are they... That's just stupid. It is,
well,
in fact, retarded.
The name of this.
Well, no, they don't. Retarded is a medical term. Mm-hmm. It is a medical and scientific term.
Would they change it to disabled?
It's possible. I guess they're taking votes. Or
Department of it's time for time out. Or whatever that woman said, the quiet game. Department of the quiet game.
Katie Couric says all this attention being paid to her is flattering but unnerving. It's a job when push comes to shove. When all this hype and attention, it's very flattering, but I don't know what to do with it, says the down-to-earth anchor woman. She tries to keep things in perspective. She likes to get home in time to take care of her two daughters, who apparently, she says, don't spend a lot of time watching television news. They're very uninformed.
They're all on the iTunes. Mm. All right.
So let's talk about Rosie O'Donnell, because everyone is today.
Can we please?
The View has welcomed its new co-host. Did anybody want you to know?
No.
The comedian joined Barbara Walters, that lady named Joy, and Elizabeth for the Chat Fest 10th season.
When did this happen?
I guess today or yesterday.
All right.
Rosie was greeted with a standing ovation from the audience.
Oh, God.
Who were told to do so.
They embittered house frows.
Leading to this exchange between she and Barbara Walters.
I don't like you.
What's all the fuss about? Well, it's about our new set. What do you think?
Oh, my God.
No.
Am I alone in thinking...
This is bad stuff. We have four more of these.
There's five Rosie O'Donnell cuts. Remember the last couple of days, we couldn't get some of our sound to work? Today, we fixed it, and so we're inaugurating it with five separate Rosie O'Donnell cuts.
Oh, it's so great, though. You know that her and Barbara Walters are going to get into a fist fight.
Am I? Oh, wouldn't you pay to see that?
So
Barbara Walters
women,
would win.
They will flash. I mean, they're both attention whores.
Rosie O'Donnell has got the weight behind her punch, but Barbara Walters will scratch and kick, and she's mean. She's like a ferret.
She's been around for like 50 years.
Yeah, totally. No, you don't stay at the top of that heap by being a nice woman. Mm-hmm. Barbara Walters is all smiles, but you get the feeling that she can be very, very, very mean and brass tacks, brass knuckles when the time comes.
She'll pull the feathers out the NBC peacock.
Am I? She'll eat your bones. Am I alone in thinking that Rosie O'Donnell sounds like a Muppet? It's a lot of like, like she kind of gets that that weird, like her throat is sort of fluttering.
What the fuck about?
Right
well,
here. Right here.
About our new set. What do you think?
Yeah, it's like a.
Not only did we choose the color, we said we don't want it to look like someone's grandmother's living room anymore.
Oh, God. It's like I'm listening to Air America in the afternoon.
I have never been able to listen to this show because all of them talk at the same time with no point, and they're just trying to one-up each other. It is so obnoxious. I don't see how anyone could listen to it.
I would never listen to a show like that.
Barbara,
I don't know
what
you're talking about.
Shut up! No, but Tim and I noted that I shouldn't say this because, you know, Donna Miker from D.C., but that show is just, it's so East Coast. It's so East Coast sounding. And I know that they're trying to make it for the whole country. But it just sounds like a bunch of, no offense, yammering, shrill New England women. Maybe New England's not even the right way to put it. It's very like a bunch of really shrill Manhattan women. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like sort of Sex in the City without any charm.
During the show, Barbara Walters and Rosie joke about whether Rosie needs to be formally introduced.
Do you think there's anyone who does not know that maybe we should introduce you, or is that unnecessary?
Oh, they know. Okay, my name is Meredith Vieira, and welcome to the
Vieira. During the show,
hurts my brain to
this
listen.
This gets worse. They're
was that Meredith
Vieira,
or was it Rosie O'Donnell?
That was Rosie. She was making a joke.
Hard to tell.
Oh, because Meredith Vieira is gone?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
During the show, the subject of marriage comes up, including Rosie's.
Today you do it once. You get married once, like you did, right?
Yeah,
how many
once.
Times have you been married?
Once. I'm only doing it once.
But didn't they nullify it?
Yeah, so maybe we'll have to do it twice. But
Rosie explains why she's wearing high heels.
I'm wearing high heels today because...
I saw that.
Well, because you girls are... You're heel wearers on this show.
And we also have hair, which I noticed that you've grown yours.
Well, I had that crazy, crazy haircut that scared America to death.
Rosie acknowledges a big arrangement of flowers at the front of the set.
It's just the last one.
Here's the last one.
Well, I don't want to say who sent me these beautiful flowers sitting in front of me, but it could be someone named Tom Cruise.
Yes?
Is that another joke?
No, on her show she used to be obsessed with Tom Cruise.
Speaking of that, the first pictures of the baby will be published tomorrow in Vanity Fair.
Mm-hmm. Have we all seen that horrible picture of Katie Holmes where she looks all drawn and sad and huge rings under her eye and just
there's
her hair's all limp? See, Sarah and I were talking about this morning that you get the feeling that America has permanently turned on Tom Cruise. I don't believe... Like, literally, unless he just rescued a building full of babies from a fire, then we'd be like, all right. But I don't think he's gone beyond the pale. There's no coming back for him. Katie Holmes, though, you get the feeling that we're just waiting to embrace her again. You know, she could be America's sweetheart once more. You just want her to come back and be like, I'm sorry. And we're like, oh, Katie, it's all fine again. We would take her back in a heartbeat as a country. Because I think we know that it's not really her fault. She's being held prisoner in a volcano or whatever they do. So you just see her. Yeah, Scotty's noting that Tala bounced back, no problem. He just apologized to Brooke Shields. You'll notice how that got, I guess it got some play in the media, but no one cares. No one cares because no one believes it. That's the thing. When Tom Cruise apologized to Brooke, you know he doesn't believe it.
Oh, I didn't even hear that he did that.
He did. Yeah. Oh, it was in the news for like a day, and then the crocodile guy died. They just completely blew it off the page. There's nothing worse than a fake, like an obviously contrived and constructed apology of the kind that Mel Gibson will undoubtedly put out when he gets out of rehab. But it was a lot of like, it was that stupid thing where he apologized to Brooke Shields for saying that she was that she was a sissy for going on drugs when she after the kid. Mm-hmm. But it was that dumb apology thing where he said, "Well, I'm sorry, but I still mean every word of it." And it's like, just shut your hole and you'll go away. All right, are we done with the Rosie O'Donnell?
Yeah, that's it for today.
Fantastic.
They're all still alive. The Jackson Beach Zoo Pan store will close this month due to safety concerns prompted by structural problems. The store's floor is collapsing, but people continue to shop there. The manager says we're seeing cracks and fissures in the walls and floors. The display cases are splitting apart and breaking open. The cooler doors won't open, and the floors are so sloped and uneven that shopping carts are getting stuck in the ruts.
But the values are as great as ever.
Mm-hmm. So they're not going to close for another couple of weeks, but they're warning people in advance that they might disappear in a sinkhole trying to get some margarine.
There you go. Well, let's take a couple of these barking. Jesse.
Hey, Rick, what's up?
Hello, sir. It says here, Jesse, with barking squirrel sound.
Yeah, I'm back in Sheriff on this one, because I, too, have dogs taken to the park, and the squirrels kind of will bark to taunt the dog. You probably would notice this if you didn't pay somebody to walk your dog.
Now, hey, that's a cruel thing to say.
It's totally accurate.
She quit anyway, because my dog turned mean. Now, where do you walk your dog? What park, sir?
I live in North Portland, so Columbia Park.
And then, Sarah, this is, where do you walk your dog?
Anywhere around Hawthorne, like any of the scattered parks. I at least four of the parks I've been to there, all of them in the bigger trees have the squirrels in them.
The barking squirrels.
And it's not a particular type of squirrels. All squirrels do it, because even the squirrels that run across the power lines by my yard, when they see
they all bark at
you. They flip their tail and make the noise. It's more of a chirp than a bark, but it does. It sounds like they're mimicking the dog. It's like, like that. Now I'm never going to get laid again. Good thing I
have that on her. Have the squirrels ever actually, have they ever attacked you?
No, they've never attacked me.
Sarah seems to believe that they may be massing some sort of an onslaught.
I had one run at me before, and I got the hell out of there. I was freaked out.
You had a squirrel charge you?
Yes.
And your dog didn't protect you?
No, well, Muppet.
Have you seen her dog?
No.
It's really basic. It's like a small hand puppet.
Okay. Well, maybe they thought it was like a missing brother or something. They were coming to hang up with
Do you believe the squirrel was headed for you or for your dog, Sarah?
Oh, it was headed for me.
It was headed for you. What do you think the squirrel was trying to take you down?
In Pullman, where I went to school at WSU, the squirrels there would run rampant all over campus, too, and run at students. And that's actually where the squirrel ran at me.
All right. All right, Jesse. Do the noise one more time.
Oh, man.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you for humiliating me.
It's what I do. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Bryn?
Yep.
Bryn, what's up? You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I'm pretty sure that the barking squirrels is a mating thing.
Yeah, but why would it be run? I mean, really, why would it be running at Sarah? Sarah does not. Sarah typically doesn't look like a squirrel.
That's entirely different. I don't walk a dog, and I still hear squirrels barking a lot. Although not at people, they just do it because I think they're trying to attract a mate.
All right. Well, what does it sound like to you, sir?
It sounds a lot like my sugar gliders. They do something really similar, but a little bit higher register.
Please,
exactly.
Give us the noise.
Okay. Like that.
This whole thing is just great and sad. All right, Bryn, thank you, sir.
Oh, one more thing.
Yes.
Flying squirrels are indigenous to this part of Oregon.
Ah, Sarah thought I was making that up.
They're native animals.
They're not flying, except, but they sort of glide.
Yeah, they're like sugar gliders, except they're squirrels.
Yeah, they sort of have like a little cape that's sort of built into their fur.
Well, it's between the front and hind legs and sides.
All right, yeah, and then they jump from one tree to another, and they can sort of glide like a good 30, 40 feet.
Exactly. Yeah, a friend of mine once said that her neighbor in Sherwood had one that used to raid the bird feeder.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, where'd that come from? So I looked it up, and they're natives. They belong here.
All right. All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you, Bryn. All right. There you go. That's Bryn. Let's see. Rick asks her if she also hears meowing unicorns. Just curious. Todd the Corpse says, Rick, you are wrong and Sarah is right. In my yard, my cherry and walnut trees are lousy with squirrels. And when they encroach on each other's area, they make this awful screechy barking noise at each other. And then they'll approach me slowly and without fear. It's utterly terrifying because there's nothing scarier than small wild animals that show no fear when eyeing you with their rabies-infested devil eyes.
Because you know their claws are sharp too, because they're hanging on to that tree upside down.
Seriously.
And they start eyeballing you. You don't want to be anywhere near.
And they've got those black dead eyes with no pupil. Where it's all pupil, you know what I mean? It's just all black. It's like, why is that? What is that about, actually? That some animals, I don't mean to turn this in, have you ever noticed? But why is it like is some animals just got the whole jet black eye? Like it's just a big black marble in there. That's kind of what's unnerving. Because that's what... Really, that's what makes you think like you can't reason with them at all. Like a dog, I think you can reason with because a dog eye looks vaguely similar to human eye. It's got the white part and then the sort of colored part in the middle.
Muppet's eyes are mostly black. He looks kind of evil sometimes.
Do you ever do that, though? Sometimes, like, your dog, like, if it's indoors and it'll dilate and, like, your dog will look over you with, like, just pure black eyes and you just it sort of unnerves you. Long story short, squirrels do bark at each other and at you. Watch your back, says Todd. Okay. Yeah, all right, then. Let's see. Let's. Oh.
I'm going to take you to the park today with Max, and we're going to go find the barking squirrel.
Can we record it?
Yes.
Sir, you wanted to. We have to break here. Well, we have Jim Rupin, and we have to break. We have all this crap. You wanted to talk about the Tacoma Narrows, sir?
Dude, here's the most horrifying thing about the Tacoma Narrows Bridge, okay?
Are you listening, sir?
First off the bat, for the last 35 years, the stretch of highway between the Tacoma Narrows and I-5 has been under construction. Absolutely never have I seen a stretch of that road without any orange cones on it.
No, they're always tearing parts of it up, yeah.
And the beautiful part is, right before you get on the Tacoma Narrows Bridge to head over towards Bremerton, they have this little glass-encased memorial of Galloping Gertie. The Tacoma Narrows Bridge is nicknamed from the 1920s and 1930s with this huge windstorm that came along and set the bridge like, you know, spiraling out of control. There's a car parked in the middle of it, and it collapsed. And they've got, you know, old newsreel footage of this. It's incredible. But in the case, you can see the pictures of the Tacoma Narrows Bridge as it's collapsing, just to give you that sense of security before you pass across again.
That's messed up.
I do, actually. In fact, somebody had emailed me. Let me see if I can find it here, since we're so behind anyway.
Amazing.
Let me see. Let's see. Here we go. Let's see. There was a bridge in Washington, and I think this is the one you're talking about, and it was properly engineered. This is from somebody who learned this in physics class. What happened is the wind resonated against the bridge at the exact same frequency as the inhibitor or something, the shock absorber, if you will, of the bridge, and instead of being absorbed, the oscillations just went completely out of control, and the bridge started waving. And just disintegrated.
Oh.
I don't know nothing from science, but I'll tell you this. In the middle of the bridge, there's this car. And the funny part about it is that there's this dog that is in the car at the time the bridge is coming down. Dude went from one end of the bridge to the middle of the bridge to try to save this dog. The dog bit him. He said, screw it, ran back, and the dog ended up collapsed into the Narrows with the bridge on top.
Well, here we got this. Listen to this. All right, thank you, sir. We've got squirrels make a warning sound that is very distinctive. It is a barking noise. If you keep walking toward the squirrel while it's barking and it has nowhere to go, they have been known to leap directly at your face and bite out large portions of your tongue.
Oh.
All right. This is Jim Roop. Should we break? What should we do here?
This segment was dedicated to the loving memory of Steve Irwin.
Seriously. All of these animal stories off of Steve. Are we going to Jim?
Yep.
All right, so here's what's going to happen. We'll talk to Jim Roop, do a few things. We'll break. Dennis, Storm, bottom of the hour, Tim, blah, 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 Lycus 306. Zing. All right, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Los Angeles. James Roop, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon.
Man, it's been one of those days. It all started when the croc guy died, and it's all just gone downhill from there.
I can make you feel better.
Can you?
I just got back from a news conference. Lawyers representing Fred Goldman, Ron Goldman's.
Oh, I like what we're saying.
They have this new... They just filed a motion that would, in essence, strip O.J. Simpson of his right to publicity and transfer that to the Goldman family so that O.J. Simpson cannot make any money from his likeness, from his celebrity, signing autographs or whatever until the $38 million debt is settled between the Goldmans and Simpson from that judgment in 1997.
Boy, you know,
that's the smartest thing you've ever heard.
I got to tell you, man, there somewhere there is a house and some cameras and a reality show just waiting for Simpson and the Goldmans. You know what I mean? It's and again, I don't mean to make light of the situation. I know he lost his son, terrible tragedy, all of that. But it's Fred Goldman, man. That guy, he is just a dog with a bone. And again, I'm not saying it's understandable, but it's like I think at a certain point, they counsel people who have had a tragedy like this in their family, a murder, a crime, or whatever. They counsel them at a certain point, just sort of acknowledge and accept and try to move on with your life and whatever. And you know what? For better or for worse, but certainly for the entertainment of all of us, Fred Goldman does not know the words move and on, especially together.
You know, he's owed $19.7 million from Simpson from the judgment in 1997. That has never been paid. With interest right now, it's $38 million. Now, as far as Goldman goes, because he's got a little cash, it's not really about money as much as it's about being a thorn in Simpson's side.
Yeah.
He still believes he murdered his son. So he's saying, look, Simpson took something from me, most precious thing I have, one of my kids. So I'm taking something from him, his most precious item. Himself. It's going to drive OJ nuts that every time somebody comes to OJ to say, hey, come sign autographs at our creep show or whatever he's going to do, Fred Goldman's got to have a seat at that table.
Oh, man. And it wasn't it just like 2 weeks ago that I was reading some story where OJ has got some, I think OJ gone wild or something.
Called Juiced?
Yeah, Juiced.
Oh, I don't think that's on anymore. But anything like that, Fred Goldman gets all of that money until $38 million is paid back. And you cannot tell me that O.J. Simpson that his celebrity is getting him that much money.
No.
Well, it's going to be a long time.
Oh, no. That's
to make a dime.
Yeah, that's like paying off the national debt on my salary. It's not going to happen.
And California law is pretty clear. And it says that this thing's appropriate. It's never been done in this context. But intellectual property rights stuff has been done in business all the time. So there's sort of precedent for it. And if the judge doesn't grant this motion, I will lose all faith in the criminal justice system.
Well, you know, here's the thing about O.J. Simpson, and I think about this a lot, actually. Not a lot, but I mean a fair piece, as they say. You know, in America, there's so much. It's taken as an article of faith in this country that if you achieve or attain any level of fame, that equals money. You know what I mean? Like if you are famous, or even if you're infamous, if you are known to a large section of the population, there's just money that comes along with that. But OJ is really even now. I mean, even before this Goldman thing, OJ really is just the exception that proves that rule, I guess. Because I don't know anybody out there. Look, I know guys. And I myself, among them, I know guys who collect, like, serial killer art, okay? I mean, I know guys are like, look, if you're going out to Plainfield, Wisconsin, can you get me a piece of Ed Gein's grave, you know, or whatever? I don't know anybody anywhere that would spend a nickel on anything that had the word O.J. Simpson associated with it.
No, but he's making money somehow. I mean, they cannot do anything about his NFL pension. That's the $4 million sitting in the bank. He's
right.
Making $25,000 a month in interest alone.
But that's because it's not associated with his name as such.
That's true.
Right.
And because he's in Florida, which is a state that protects debtors, they can't take his property.
Right.
But they can take, you know, they can take his ability to make any more money by losing the thing he loves the most, his face.
Totally. And you can tell. I mean, he either O.J. Simpson is really bizarre on a lot of levels. I mean, I think as time goes on and we get more distance from the O.J. Simpson case, which I've said is really maybe the most important trial in the history of this country, if only because it was a microcosm of so many issues.
Right.
You know, of money and race and male-female relationships and the media and the whatever. It sort of represented everything about this country at once. I think as time goes on and we get more distance from O.J., there's going to be a lot of people weighing in, a lot of psychologists and sociologists weighing in on him and his attitude about whatever. And he either doesn't know or doesn't care what the public thinks of him, and I don't know which it is, because you see, like, I saw part of that Juiced video, which where they were selling up until a couple weeks ago, and it's like him in Miami, like getting a lap dance from some girl and doing a shot, and there's like girls hanging on the guy.
Yeah.
And I mean, you just, you know, the whole thing is just freaking weird, man. It is. There's just no words beyond that. It's just strange.
Well, we'll find out about this on October 17th. An actual hearing on this motion is going to be take place then. So,
is that even legal that you can affix a garnishment to a guy's public image?
Well, he's not like a regular guy that goes to 9-to-5 job that you can attach his wages. I mean, he there's no way to really do that.
That's true. You can't quantify it.
Yeah. So, you know, this is a little bit of a stretch. But there is, in the business world, there's precedent for this. And it's like, you know, when John Wayne was still alive, he signed over his right to publicity to his kids so they could make a little money off his likeness, that kind of thing. So all these lawyers are doing, and this to me is just genius, is telling the court, look, he owes the Goldman family $38 million. The only way we can get that from him is if we make sure we are in charge of the money he makes from his life.
From being O.J.
From being O.J. Simpson. And a judge has got to say, you know, you're right.
Yeah.
Here you go.
It's
There's
true.
A contract, and O.J. will just, he'll just slice his wrist.
Oh, that'll be, see, there you go. So this is, O.J. really is, he's the story that keeps on giving, you know?
Yes, it is.
Really is.
And it's been 12 years now.
I was just going to say, and you know what, now that we're just talking about O.J., do a little bit more and wrap it up. I suspect we'll have another chance to talk about immigration.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
Nah, it doesn't matter, I don't care. Here's a dumb question. Where are all the other O.J., like, where is Judge Ito now? Where is that guy at?
Oh, he's still working in one of the courts downtown.
And then Chris Darden, he's sort of a pundit or whatever now, right? He's one of those guys that just shows up on MSNBC.
Head when you need an legal expert.
Yeah.
Clark, the same thing.
And then Marsha, is that what she's doing?
Yeah, that's what they do. I mean, they're not practicing law on a daily basis anymore.
Well, seriously, because in who at this point would say, I need that Chris Darden guy to present me?
Well, Shapiro's dead, right?
No, it's Cochran.
Well, I think Shapiro is, too.
Is Shapiro dead, too?
Something tells me he is.
Clearly, we're all...
It could be just his career.
We're all journalists of the highest caliber here. Oh, you're right. He is dead. It's Barry Scheck that's still alive.
Right, yeah.
And Barry Scheck is trying to atone for his sins by doing that DNA thing with prisoners.
Oh, good thing.
Barry Scheck is trying to make up for the fact that he's a weaselly little bastard by doing the thing. All right. Well, there you go. Jim Rubin, hey, let me ask you this real quickly. Have you ever seen a squirrel bark?
No.
Okay. Sarah Dillon claims that she's often attacked by... Not attacked.
I'm not attacked. When I bring my dog to the park, squirrels bark.
She claims that she has had squirrels bark and then charge her.
And so have many callers today and many people...
Sure, that's not OJ?
I'm simply trying to get a good cross-section of the public to weigh in on the barking, attacking squirrel phenomenon.
Never seen it.
All right, thank you. Jim Root, my friend, we will talk to you very soon, brother.
Okay, thank you,
Thank
Rick.
You. There you go. All right, there you go. Hey, did you get that video of the Tacoma Narrows bridge falling?
Yeah, that's messed up.
Yeah.
Was it just that one car that was on it?
Famous, yeah, and it's famous footage where the bridge is waving back and forth like a ribbon in the wind, and then it just all falls apart. And it was early, it was like 1920, something like that. Long time ago, yeah. Mm. All right. What do we got, Breaker?
Yeah.
All right, break.
30 minutes, fine.
We'll come back. We'll bring on Dennis Pitzenbarger for the Portland Tribune. We're going to talk Rockstar Supernova when we get back. Rockstar Supernova. When we return, we'll have spoilers as well. So beware all ye who enter here. There be spoilers ahead. Tim Riley coming to the bottom of the hour with the Ministry of Truth. Like us at 306, Donna Mike at 70. Say there's to Rick Emerson. See, my post-hitting ability is completely, my confidence is shattered now. I'm not even trying today. Back after this, AM 970, Solid State. Radio.